I always come to this text. It comes up on a regular basis. And I just sort of feel like the guys that put together our lectionary got lazy. Like they said, well, we've got these, you know, half a dozen stories. We could try to divvy them up between different ways. Let's just squish them all in one. And whoever's preaching for that Sunday, they just have to figure out which one they want to preach about. And there are a lot of really good points that are being made in today's gospel lesson. There's, of course, the knowledge that God's grace and mercy is not just good, but perfect. That God is not just seeking out his disciples, but seeking out his disciples to love, to cherish, and to save. And that God's net just goes out into all the world in hopes of bringing us all in. It's also easy to look at these passages and be reminded of the fact that Jesus oftentimes will talk about the kingdom of God in what theologians call teleological terms. Telos, the word telos, means the end. So if something is teleological or eschatological, it means it's talking about the end. What happens at the end? This world will not go on forever, sadly. Neither do our lives go on forever, sadly. What happens at the end of our lives or this world? And Jesus talks oftentimes about God having to sort, to choose those who are his and to reject those who are not his. And that is an important lesson also to be learned. But I often have found that one of the most important bits for this grouping of parables isn't what we can learn, but what we oftentimes miss. Like I said, some of it's pretty obvious, but there is an element to it that I think we as human beings are always going to do wrong when we hear the parables of Jesus Christ. It's in fact the same thing that we do wrong oftentimes when we read any of the scriptures, and that is that we make an assumption about the story. It's an assumption that makes sense as human beings. And that is the assumption that the story of God's kingdom, the story of our salvation, the story of Christ's life, is a story about us. It's a story about our salvation. And to an extent, that certainly is what the Bible speaks about extensively, but that's not what it's about. I oftentimes think one of the things that we mistake when we understand and talk about God's ministry in this world is that we believe that it is principally about the salvation of human souls in order that we might receive life, life abundant, and life eternal, and do that in paradise. That really makes the parables, the scriptures, and the mission of the kingdom very human-centric, doesn't it? Makes it about us. What are we going to get out of it? And honestly, if Jesus Christ's message to humanity was basically, hey, I want to give you free stuff. Do you want free stuff or do you not want free stuff? Then I suppose it could be all about us. But I've always believed in my heart that Jesus Christ's ministry was first and foremost about glorifying God the Father. About doing God's will in heaven. About undoing the damage that had been done by sin in order to glorify his Father in heaven. See, what we know about God the Father is that he loves his creation immensely. He desires more than anything else for it to be rectified, for it to be made whole, for it to be made pure, for the damage that was done through sin to be undone, in order that he might be reconciled to his kingdom and his creation, and we might be reconciled back to him, because it is our Father in heaven's great pleasure to have his children home again. I think Christ's mission and ministry was to do that, to reconcile the damaged and broken creation back to the Creator, in order that the Creator might be whole again. If we understand the story of salvation to be about Christ returning us to the Father's throne room, we start to read some things differently. For example, in today's parables, if you read the parables in particular about the person who finds the treasure in the field. By the way, the first time I read this, I thought to myself, was there a lot of piracy going on back then? I mean, were there a lot of, you know, X marks the spot, go out into a field and you know, find some, you know, great big crate of treasure? But then somebody pointed out to me that there was something they didn't have back then that we have today, and that is namely banks. I mean, if you had money back then and you wanted to be sure that your money was safe, you hid it somewhere. You didn't take it down to, you know, Huntington Bank and say, I'd like to make a deposit, because there was no opportunity to do that. So what did you do? Well, you put it in a really good, strong container. You found a chunk of dirt that you figured nobody would think to dig in. You dug a hole and you stuck it there until the day came that you needed to pull it back out again. So it wasn't actually that uncommon that somebody might find a field and say to themselves, well, would you look at that? There's a box hidden in the hole of that tree, or there's, you know, that strange rock there seems like it's been put there for some reason and find some treasure. So in this story, we see that Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a treasure that a person finds in this field. What does he do? He goes out and he sells off everything he has, gives away all of his possessions in order that he might purchase for himself the box that's hidden in the field, dug up out of the dirt, and have an enormous treasure. And again, he says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who goes looking for jewelry and finds a pearl of inestimable value and sells off all of his other stock, all of his other possessions, in order that he might purchase this one pearl, which was of enormous value. And as humans, we read this story about ourselves, don't we? We say, oh, the kingdom of heaven is like this incredibly valuable treasure. We should be willing to give up everything we have in order to take possession of it. That would be reading the scriptures from a human point of view. But I've always made the argument that the scriptures are written from God's point of view. Because if you read the story and you consider very carefully what it is that Jesus is saying, that there is somebody who goes out into the world and finds buried in the dirty, muddy muck of the earth a treasure that the world can't see, but they can see. They then sacrifice everything they have in order to redeem that treasure for themselves. If you read the passage that way, Jesus isn't talking about us giving up everything we have in order that we might earn the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about himself going out into the world and finding the treasure of the lost, finding the treasure of the broken, finding the treasure of the sinners who are yet to be redeemed, and then giving everything he has, even to the point of death on the cross, in order to redeem for his Father in heaven this incredible treasure that are the broken. When we read that story, we understand perhaps more deeply than when we read it about ourselves. When we read it about ourselves, that God has hidden some salvation out there in the world, and if we're willing to work really hard and give up a lot and sacrifice a lot, then maybe we can dig it up for ourselves. That makes this story about us. But if you read the story, that we're the treasure. We're the thing that's been buried, hidden, unseen in this world, neglected, filthy. And that Jesus is the person who comes and searches for us, looks for us, digs us up out of the muck and mire of this sinful world, and then gives up everything he has in order to purchase us back for his Father in heaven. The story sounds different. I think it sounds much more accurate. Because we're not the source of our salvation. There is not a one of us here who can stand before the throne of God and say, "Hey, it's good to be here. I'm glad to be standing before my judgment because I did it. I accomplished it. I was the best. I was perfect. I've earned my way into the kingdom because I'm so good." No. No. That's not true of us as human beings. Not a one of us can look at another one of us and say, "I'm perfect and you're not." Neither can any of us stand before the throne of God and say, "You're perfect and so am I." But we can say that we're perfectly redeemed. We can say that we're perfectly forgiven. We can say that we've been perfectly paid for through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed for us on the cross. We can say that we're perfectly loved, that our Father in heaven so loved us that he was willing to give the life of his Son in order that we might be saved. We can say that we are perfected through that love, redeemed, and that the kingdom of God is like a God who goes out into the world searching for the lost, the broken, the filthy, and the forgotten. And upon finding us, gives up everything of himself, even his life, in order to pay for us to be redeemed. When we read the story that way, we realize just how merciful and gracious our God is. Just how loving our God is. We realize that we are called upon to be God's people in this world because we have been bought through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that this changes how we look at ourselves. Because no matter how buried in the dirt or stuck in an oyster we might be, when God looks at us, he sees treasure. Inestimable value on that treasure. And he says, "These, my children, I will redeem. I will pay all for them because they are worth it to me." May we see ourselves the way God